Okay. All right. So let's learn. So up to towards the end of Mishnah Aleph, right? So the Mishnah goes through again, like we saw, Moshe, Yeshua, Zakenim, Neviim, eventually Tashrik Nesak Doila. And like the Mishnah says, they said three things, right? Have Masuna Bedin, the Amidah Tamidim Harbe, Vasus Yag L'Torah, right? So the Pashas is talking about Dayonim, right? That have Masuna Bedin, a Dayan should be patient, shouldn't rush to judgment. Point one. Point number two, now it's talking to a Rebbe, that a Rebbe should try to produce many Talmidim, not to be satisfied with what a person has already accomplished in terms of Talmidim. And finally, the third is to a different group of people, the Sanhedrin, and sort of the Bali HaMasaira, that they should make Darbanans, they should establish Darbanans. So the Pashtus is that these three things have nothing to do with each other. Not only do these three Hayras have nothing to do with each other, it's talking to three different people. The first is talking about to a Dayan on the Bezdin. Next is talking to a Rebbe in Yeshiva, and the third is talking to the Sanhedrin Agadah. So the Kamaran explains that they're all shaykh to each other. So let's take a look. So it's on page Vav. Have Mesun Bedin. So the Kamaran explains that all three are interconnected, and they're all talking to every single Jew. Have Mesun Bedin. A person should be patient in judgment. Livsak Din Al Chaveroi. A person should be patient before they judge another person. Kishiroi by Dvar Erva Maguna. Let's say you see on another yid something that's not good. So the normal the initial reaction is, okay, the guy's no good. He did something no good. Or let's say maybe not necessarily even something bad by the other yid. He did maybe even a mitzvah, but it's clear that his intentions were not l'shem shemaim. So says the Mishnah, you should hold back judgment. Kikol masha yivsek v'idabar al chaveroi. Because anything that a person paskins and says about someone else, garam zel atzmai, you cause it for yourself. You cause it for yourself. So this is it's a big aside from the Baal Shem, right? That whatever, you know, there's different ways how it's brought down by the tzaddikim and different ways how the Baal Shem has said it. But another person is like a mirror, right? So whatever you see by another yid is a reflection on you. Whatever you say about another yid is really a reflection on yourself. Kol ha'paisel v'mumay paisel. And so the same thing over here. If a person judges someone else in a negative way, then automatically what you're doing is you're saying something negative about yourself. You're saying something negative about yourself. Ubezeh, and by avoiding saying something negative about the other yid, and the opposite, by ignoring the negative thing that you just saw. And like kilu, it didn't happen. So ubezeh hamidu talmidim harbe. By this, by that approach, you'll be able to produce a lot of talmidim. Udaloi k'Rav Gamliel she'amar, and meaning not like Rav Gamliel who said mish ain toicha kibaray al yikonis the beis hamedrash. Right, it's a famous gemara. The gemara says a whole ma'isa that Rav Gamliel was the nasi, and then for whatever reason he was demoted. So Rav Elazar ben Azariah took his place. Right, and the gemara says that one of the big shitas of Rav Gamliel was that he put watchmen by the door of the beis hamedrash, that he would only allow entrance by those people that were Taichim Kabaram. Their insides were like the outsides. They were good through and through. So when Rav Elazar ben Azariah became the Nasi, he had a different approach. He said, everyone that wants to come in is going to come in. It's not a problem. And so they removed the Shomer. And like the Gemara says, there were hundreds of benches that were added into the Beis Medrash that day because of all the Tamidim that wanted to come but weren't allowed by the times of Rav Gamliel. So says the Kamarna, by going with the approach of Abba Mesuna Medin, of not judging another Jew quickly about the negativity that you see, and just push it, ignoring it, like Hilu, you know. So that means that you're going with the approach of Elazar ben Azariah. I mean, the commander is adding that it's not the Pshat of Elazar ben Azariah, despite the fact that this guy, I mean, so you have this person, you know, you have Yankel, right? So Yankel is doing not good things on the outside. So, you know, there's some, you know, he's not consistent with who he is, and the inside, outside, he's all. So Rav Gamliel says, okay, that's who he is, so he's not allowed in. So Pash B'Shad, Elazar ben Azariah would say, despite the fact that Taki, you're right, that this guy is all confused and messed up, and there's a lot of negativity about this guy, let's still let him in. That's the simple Pshad. But says the Kamarna, no, the Pshad of Elazar ben Azariah didn't see the negativity. He didn't see the negativity. Everyone agrees that the only people who should go into the Beis Medrash is a tzaddik. The question is, do you see this guy as a tzaddik or not? So Gamliel saw what it's, you know, the empirical evidence, which is that this guy is not living an authentic life. But Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah just ignored it. He didn't see it. And what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah saw was a person that was Tarcha Kibara. So everyone agrees that the only person allowed entrance into Beis Medrash is someone that's a good Jew through and through. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah saw all of them as good Jews through and through.
Is that the Pashto Pshat, what the Moshe Rabbeinu says? That you don't have eyes to see the person, or the Metzias is that Hashem puts in front of you things that reflect you?
I guess it goes back, I guess it goes both ways a little bit. You know, the more person, you know, it's like there is such, the Kamaran himself points this out in other places, that there is such a thing that a tzaddik a tzaddik who himself is so lichtig can't see anything dark. That's all he sees is light, you know?
That's talking about sickness. I'm talking about Stam's people. Obviously, they see things that are not proper. Right?
Yeah.
The question is, how does that
work? So if a person sees that as a musr to himself, so then adrava, then I'm not focused at all on who this person is. This person is a Navi. This person is a Shliach of the Ribbono Shel Olam sending me a message for myself. So he himself, he's a adrava. It's Rachmanis on. Clearly, I needed the message. And it's Rachmanis on him that the Ribbono Shel Olam had to use him as to be my messenger. But he himself, this was, he wouldn't have had that issue. You know, the only reason why he has that issue is because it's really a message for me, which really is my issue, right? It's a spark of me and him. Right? It's a spark of me and him that's going through that problem.
There's a diga in the Gemara. It says they added that day 300 benches to this medrash. Why not 300 talmidim? So they only added benches.
Even if they're just benches. Even if they're just benches. But that's the oimek. The oimek is that whenever... Anytime a person does something... Here, let me explain like this. Anytime a person does something, it takes investment of energy, right? So I pick up this cup of water, so it means that I spent energy to pick up this cup of water, right? So go deeper than that. Translate energy to neshama. So there's an aspect of my neshama that was just invested in this action of picking up a cup of water. How much of my neshama? I don't know, probably a very small amount, right, relatively speaking. But neshamas are made of different parts. Every neshama is like a spark of energy. Now we imagine that all of our sparks of our neshama inside of us is ours. Love dafka. Neshamas are all interincluded within each other, right? So you could have, so Yankel could have a spark of his neshama in Moshe, and Moshe could have a spark of his neshama in Zvulun, and Zvulun could have a piece of his neshama in, it's all mixed up like that. So when I see another yid, so when the Baal Shem Tov said that when you see another yid do something wrong, don't judge that person, but rather see it as a reflection on yourself. So the simple, when you hear that simply, it's like, okay, I have to just like somehow ignore what I saw and pretend as if this is a person just giving me a musa shmus from Hashem. It's a little bit like ignoring reality. But the depth of it is not like that. What Baal Shem Tov is saying is that if the Ribbono Shel Olam put this person in front of your eyes, then the spark of, and he did something wrong. You can't deny that reality. But what part of his neshama did something wrong? A spark of his neshama was invested in that particular action, which is not so good. But was it his spark? Or was it your spark in him? Well, if you saw it, that means it's your spark in him. But he himself is 100% pure still. There's nothing about this Jew that if I saw or if I know of something that's negative, then that's not that yid. Why would the Ribbono Shel Olam show me something negative about another yid? For what purpose? There's no purpose in that. The only purpose that I would know anything about someone else is because that thing that I've been shown or been informed of is something that's my spark. So if it's something good, so adrava, so it's a gevalde gezach. And if it's something negative, then it's something that I have to work on. So, but as far as who the person is, that person is Teichel Gebara. There's no reason for me to think every yid is cheskas kashrus. Why would I assume a yid is not a kosher yid, right? Unless I'm proven otherwise. Well, the truth is you can't prove me otherwise because anything that I know about this Jew is a reflection on me and it's my spark inside of him. Which means that the only Jew that fluctuates in terms of cheskes kashrus, not cheskes kashrus, good, bad, and is me. right? Everyone else is status quo because I don't know anyone else.
How could it be that a tzaddik could hear a story about him doing horrible things, and then they need to teach for themselves that there's some shaman, some line of shaman in them that's doing that thing, that's involved in that thing? I mean, that's like so far from their reality. Like some of the things that like you have tzaddik, and we're hearing meisim.
Yeah.
They have to look at themselves and say there's some element of this that's part of my mission.
Yeah.
That they practically have to do something.
Yeah.
Now they have to work on themselves and do something.
Yeah.
The Indian's so far removed from there. From the world.
So by the time this spark, by the time my spark, now listen, I mean, again, by the time the spark of my neshama finds itself into this person, which is obviously on a lower level, so, but it's my problem.
So any story we hear, anytime a person hears a story about something,
you have to do it in a way that doesn't overwhelm you. You have to use seichel.
Not
in theory,
that's the problem. Is that what's happening when you're davening for another yid? You're really davening yourself.
To a certain degree, yeah. If you know about it, it means that you're connected.
Is Tocha Kavara specifically that their actions don't match? That their negative actions don't match their positive insight, or could it also?
It could be both ways. You could touch it both ways. There's something.
Like, we're only talking right now in terms of guy's great on the inside, but yeah, his actions don't match. But it could also be he's doing exactly what they're supposed to do. But in reality, that they're.
Okay, but I'm saying it either way. The point is that
it applies both in their internal processes.
It's not a shift. It's not a shift. Pasha Pshat is that inside is not as holy as he looks outside.
Right.
But the shift inside would say, well, outside is not as holy as he is inside.
Right.
So what happened with David and Shimi? Let's use it like a practical example. Like David, Shimi comes to David, he curses him, David says it's me. But the Maisa, there's a concern, this is an aspect of Shimi, it's very marvelous. Just to wait till it. So how does Tzadik take that?
Because that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch for me to do. It's not a bad thing.
So you're saying I have to look at things. I have to be a
halacha that I have to do. It's not a judgment thing. Yeah. Yeah. Das Olin is Marvin Malchus. Right, that itself is Marie Lamal, yeah.
Does
very
play into the real vicious of Motzi Shema or Chilos that you hear? I mean, when you hear a story that's not true, someone hears a story that's not true, like about another yid, and being Makabal that then saying that it's not true about the yid at all, does that mean that the spark of my neshama is in this person or it's not? When I hear it, when I listen to it,
if Halacha says that you ignore it, then you ignore it, then it's not true. But I'm saying, but if something is true,
no mirror when it's a lie.
Yeah, then the halacha says ignore, so you ignore. But I'm saying, there's no reason to think that it's
true. Or it's being true about somebody else.
The stam is being true if it's true. So he says like this. Again, I'm saying the Torah avoid in El Masir. Halacha has guidelines. Halacha has guidelines. But I'm saying, but in terms of your perspective and how you deal, you know. So nachabav mesuna b'din, and meila hamido tamidim harve, right? Because then you're going with the rulos of an azaria, and you're not being so medactic about another yid. He's worthy, not worthy. Vasus yog, and now he goes on to say afal pisha tadin akol kafschos. Oh, so now you have to balance this. Even though we just got finished saying mesuna b'din hamido tamidim harve, shadin akol kafschos. Aval pikein kishetira noshim prutzim beiza avera makin vaitchim shleim and then lasis yag b'tayra. In other words, this like you said, the example of Shimon ben Gera, right? So despite the fact that within David's own heart, he's just reflecting on himself. He sees it as a reflection on himself, and he's not judging the other person in a negative way. But practically speaking, he's talking about like to the dying, to the tzaddikim or whatever it is. Halacha still guides you practically about how to function, and the way to function is that sometimes, let's see, in the case of a bezin, bezin has to give einshim, bezin has to punish, bezin has to see the situation, you know, and to be able to create protective fences for Yiddishkeit. So you can't. You know, there's Rav Nachman and talks about this also, that he says that one of the There is, as a person grows and they become more, like I said, they become more lichtig, and therefore it's harder to see negativity in other people. They have to always, the highest madriga is not to be completely oblivious to what's going around. Adarab, it's to know practically what's happening and to be able to handle both sides of functioning. On the one hand, within yourself, everything is lichtig and all, you know, mesun b'din hamidu t'midim harbeg. But mitzad sheni, you know that in terms of halach and how to function and what people need, so you know how to navigate that as well. That's a siyus sag l'tayra. V'chein etzadik ador b'zman hazeh. So that's the balance that this mission is trying to tell us. That again, with there's two separate modes of operation. There's within yourself, and within yourself in terms of judging and in terms of just. You know, how are you supposed to within yourself react to things? Have masuna b'din, hamidu t'midim harbeg. Practically speaking, outwardly, how do you react? So then you have to understand what the situation is, and sometimes it needs asusag v'tara. Like he says, these examples of bezdin, makin v'ayin shem shleiman adin, to make punishments and so on if bezdin needs to. Not because, because that's what the Torah dictates. Not because this guy's a bad guy. It has nothing to do with this guy. It has to do with the halacha, the mitzvah. So if the mitzvah says that's what you have to do, that's what you have to do as well. And so that's it's the same thing. Again, that's where Rav Nachman says that the higher the highest level is for, you know, the proper way is that as a person ascends, they also become more practical. They become more understanding of how others would, you know, would sort of take this and how others might even make a mistake with it. Like to sort of chap both sides at the same time. Because that's the... The Rabbanu Shem is above and below, like Rav Nachman says over there. Hashem is above and below, so a tzaddik could also be above and below at the same time. That's the ultimate goal. That's the ultimate goal. Fine. I guess we'll just end quickly with the last line over here. So this is not. I don't know if this is particularly connected to what he just said. This is just summing up, like the intro. B'chol meseches zayis medaber ma'olam hatikon. It gets a little bit Kabbalah, so we're not going to explain too much. But the whole line of meseches zayis of Pirkei Avos is talking about. The union of tikkun, the oil of tikkun. Heich l'sakin kol zayin hamidus mipsodah shalem. How to fix the seven midas of chesed, gevurah, tiferes, netzach, hod, yisod, and malchus from their, you know, from the psilas that might be contained within them to bring tikkun to one's midas. V'sharish oil matikkun hu Moshe Rabbeinu im ha-Torah. The beginning of tikkun, the root of tikkun is the neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu with the Torah. Lachin hischol Moshe kibbutz Torah. That's why the Pirkei Avos begins with mentioning Moshe's name and the Torah that he received, Moshe kibbutz Torah m'Sinai. So again, because the idea is that Pirkei Avos is about giving a person the guidance in being misakin one's midas, and ultimately the root of that in neshama language is Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu received as well. Okay, so as we make this tomorrow, we'll move on to Mishnah base.